This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. The Trump administration waited until the day after Thanksgiving to release a major scientific report contradicting its own view of the public health and economic impacts of climate change. In a more than 1,000-page report with contributions from hundreds of scientists, the National Climate Assessment delivers a devastating prediction of what the world will look like if action is not taken to change the current trajectory of a warming planet. More extreme weather disasters, including heat waves, wildfires, and floods, are just part of an overall future that would make Earth a much less hospitable planet on which to live. Leslie Ann Dupini-Giroux was the lead author of the Northeast region of the National Climate Assessment and serves as Vermont's state climatologist. She joins me now to discuss what the impact of inaction could have on Vermont, as according to this latest report. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Good morning, Mitch. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this report, it's kind of a look back and it's also a look ahead. Tell me a little bit about what this report actually does.
It is. So the National Climate Assessment is congressionally mandated by the Global Climate Change Act of 1990. And ideally, a report comes out every 4 years. So if you do the math, you'll realize that we're a little bit off because this is only the fourth one since 1990, but it is on schedule since the third National Climate Assessment, which did come out in 2014. Now, the big difference between the fourth National Climate Assessment and the ones that have preceded it is the focus. So in the volume two, the one that I helped to work on, there's been this pivot towards looking more at a regional approach as opposed to only at the national level.
What are some of the takeaways for this region here?
We looked at the rural livelihoods and rural economies and how those have been influenced and impacted and could be in the future, from the colder parts in the north down to the warmer parts in the south. And so how is that playing out? How does the physical geography play out, not just from a water perspective, from air quality perspective as well? And then how are we possibly going to see increases in things like hospital room visits and so forth.
Ticks, Lyme disease increases
exactly.
In that because of hotter weather?
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's waterborne diseases, it's air being transported into the region, it's material being trapped in the region because of our sort of mountainous valley type of structure. It's all of those pieces in there.
Another interesting thing about this report is that you focused in on the effect on indigenous peoples in the region.
Right. And so there's a new chapter in Volume 2. We're fortunate to be able to incorporate indigenous knowledges into our chapter as well, and the ways in which those challenges are being experienced across the Northeast.
This is a really big report. As I say, it's more than 1,000 pages, and we will put up a link to the parts that folks in this region are going to care most about. And again, you did work on the Northeast region here. Can you talk, though, specifically about some of the things that Vermonters may be concerned about, whether it's effects on the ski industry or, you know, leaf peeping season, that kind of thing? How is Vermont going to be affected by climate change?
That's where we sort of delve into, you know, what makes the Northeast and Northeast. Part of it is the seasonality, the fact that we have four seasons and the fact that a lot of our economic activity, our tourism, our livelihoods, our way of life are defined by those four seasons. And changes in those, including things like getting milder winters and earlier springs, for example, changes in the stream flow characteristics, all of those are going to have a direct influence, and they've already started to have a direct influence on parts of our economy and sectors like our forest and wildlife, snowpack conditions, stream flow, and so forth.
Okay, there are going to be people who hear this and say something very much like what President Trump said. You know, about a week ago, he tweeted that, oh, it was very cold on Thanksgiving Day. And it was very cold. It was temperatures that felt much more like winter. What is the biggest misconception about taking that view of this and saying, well, global warming is either a hoax or perhaps not as much of a concern as it is made out to be?
In reading a lot of those reports coming out both nationally and regionally, it's really heartening to see that very clear distinction in the reporting between climate change and climate variability and weather versus climate, meteorology versus climatology. And so I think that's one piece that I was particularly excited about.
Were you charged to make recommendations at all?
No, so the climate science special report, as well as the impacts and risks reports of volumes 1 and volume 2, are what are called policy relevant, but not policy prescriptive. So what that means is the information that's contained therein is useful for decision making, but we are not allowed to actually make recommendations as to you should do this or you must do that. What the assessment is designed to do is to look back at the last 4 years and see what work has been done and collect it all into one place.
Then I have to ask, what is your feeling from this climate assessment, the most recent one, to the last one you worked on? What is sort of your alarm factor at?
I'm actually hopeful. Because I worked on the third national climate assessment and having helped to spearhead the fourth national climate assessment, I can see the changes in what we've learned. And I can see the difference in the adaptation that's taken place and the mitigation that's taken place. When we worked on the third national climate assessment, we were just at the cusp of a lot of those things starting to come online. And now to be able to write about it is hopeful and exciting for me, because now there's been all of these pieces that have sort of come out in the last 4 years that were just sort of budding in 2013, 2014. So for me, as a climate scientist, it's hopeful, because knowing the Northeast and knowing our populations and knowing our vulnerabilities and knowing that we've started to move in a direction of making a difference, both from a mitigative perspective as also from an adaptive perspective, I feel hopeful.
You sound very optimistic for someone who is dealing with the science primarily. That is your job. It's not your job to worry about the political end of things or even, I suppose, the response publicly to things like this. But doesn't there have to be a response? You can write all the reports you want, but if action isn't taken based on the science that you're presenting, then there is going to be a problem, isn't there?
And that's where the stakeholder component comes in. And that's where I think is one of the strengths of the report, because it's directly responding to articulated needs by stakeholders. So one of the things that we had was an engagement workshop back in February of 2017. It was in Boston as a hub, and we had some, you know, folks calling in from around the region. We had over 100, 150 people for the entire day calling in to tell us everything from their concerns to the challenges that they faced. And that's where a lot of success stories came, sort of bubbled up from as well. I think that's why I'm hopeful, because I've seen it in action, and it's Vermont, but it's also across the entire Northeast. So to be sitting outside of Boston, right, and to be hearing all of this feedback coming in only gives you hope.
Leslie Ann Dupigny-Giroux was the lead author of the Northeast Region of the National Climate Assessment and is Vermont's state climatologist. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Mitch. You have a wonderful day.